News with Nick. It's July 29th, 2021. Let's go. Let's do a recording and just get it done, right? We have to do it. I guess you don't have to. But it's been, oh, well, that cut the music off too short. It's been a while, and you guys may think, that News with Nick, never publishing any shows. Well, I would agree with you, but when you really think about it, even if I did one show a month, that's more content than you get from Game of Thrones. That's more content than you get from House of Cards, probably, in a year. That's more content than you get from Better Call Saul, for sure, because that's over. Because Saul was walking through the desert going, I'm going to save you from the hardest legal troubles you've ever... my heart. I'm going down. My name's Saul. Not so good. Yeah, Bob Odenkirk collapses on the set of Better Call Saul for about like 24 hours. Reddit was up in arms. They're like, we haven't heard anything. It's just Bryan Cranston goes on Twitter and he's like, thoughts and prayers to my best friend, Saul, who got me out of so many messes when I was, you know, that drug dealing guy. And we're all like bated breath. I'm refreshing TMZ.com like it's bitstamp.net. Watching my Bitcoin go up and down and see if Bob Odenkirk will be confirmed a doomedman. Because you figure the news comes out, oh, he's been rushed to the hospital, and then there's no news for like 12, 24 hours. Normally, TMZ would be like, ah, Bob's awake, he's talking, he says everything's good. So we assumed he was going to be dead. But today, let's see what the thing says now. He's not dead. Bob Odenkirk says, let's see if I can find it. It's not even on the front page anymore. Said he's conscious and he's still in the hospital. Had a heart-related emergency on the set of filming Better Call Saul. Which well, now I'm pissed because, like, Better Call Saul is going to be delayed. Right? I don't care. Everyone's like, oh, no. Oh, man, Bob, I hope he's okay. And I'm like, yeah, I hope he's okay so that he can do my show that I want to watch for free, stolen from piratebay.rocks.net/stealing things. All right. So anyway, like I said, July 29th, 2021, head on over to the website, newswithnick.com, and you can watch the video version of the show. We're actually not live today. Decided to not stream live. Just to get it done. So if you do want to see the video version, the only way to get it is newswithnick.com. Click on the episode. And if you have any friends that want to listen to the show, you know, send them to the website also, but have them watch the first video, which is it's about a year anniversary since I did the state of the show. Let's see, newswithnick.com. If you head on over to the website, it's not broken anymore. State of the Show 2020. I published this on July 19th, 2020. So yeah, it's the anniversary month, as you would put it, of having published the State of the Show. Wow, still in the old studio, the old one that's been sold to a young man who bought my house. And just a couple weeks ago, we had like 4 inches of rain overnight. It stormed all night. And we woke up, that's my sound for when you wake up in the morning on a Saturday or a Sunday. I refresh Facebook and it's just everyone's like just in their basement swimming while posting photos from their basement. They're like, oh my goodness, it's flooded. The sump pump broke. Everything's ruined. Got some photos from the Keene CrossFit where it had turned into a literal swimming pool, right? Like a foot or two of water just sitting on the floor. I feel so bad for whoever bought my house because I was not aware of any water issue. No. This isn't a situation where I didn't disclose. It was actually disclosed on my thing that, water gets in if there's a heavy rain. What are you going to do? It's on the paperwork. But I don't think it's rained that much in the last 10 years. or 15 or whatever. So that basement probably got messed up. Well, anyway, if you want to get text updates on newswithnick.com, go to the top right and type your phone number into the box. It says subscribe to text alerts, so you'll get an alert when a show is going live or when a new show is posted. So right after this, I will have to be posting the update that says the thing is posted, right? Anyway. Yep, I've been moving. Right after the last show, I literally turned off my computer and threw it in a car, and I moved. So here I am, moved again, and I'm going to be moving several times because I'm actually homeless. And the only place I can live is where I scout out a home of a rich person, and it's actually just their vacation home, but they don't live in it most of the time, so I have to scout it out and watch for weeks. I have to write down a person's schedule, like, okay, they're here Friday, Saturday night, but they leave Sunday around 5 p.m. and they don't come back until the next week. So I'm allowed to stay. I can stay in that house for that many days. And that, what am I talking about? On to the news. It is the Olympics, Tokyo 2020. The director of the opening ceremony was fired over a 1998 Holocaust joke. The head of the organizing committee, apologizes for his latest scandal to hit preparations for the Olympic Games. This came out a couple days before the ceremony started. Preparations for the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics have been thrown into further turmoil after the show's director was sacked over a joke about the Holocaust he made in the late 1990s. Kobayashi, a popular entertainer, was dismissed after a video clip resurfaced online in a skit in which he joked about a game that he called Let's Play Massacre the Jews, prompting laughter from the audience. It must be in another language. Let's see if we can watch the video. It's 55 seconds long. Oh man, I'm going to be really offended here in a second. Skip ahead.
あの、ユダヤ人大量暗殺ごっこやろうって言った時のな。そうそうそうそう。戸田さん怒ってたな。放送できるかってな。こんなにあんのか。まずこの人型の紙。I
don't understand what's happening. Well, that wasn't very educational. So it appears to be somewhat of an improv. Maybe we can get more information from the English article. The 1998 skit. Oh, it wasn't improv. Okay, so that answers that. The 1998 skit, made when he was one half of the Ramen's comedy duo. So he was a comedian back in the day, and now he's the Olympic committee. Well, he was the Olympic organization committee guy. Was a parody of a popular TV educational program showed Kobayashi and his partner recounting a discussion with their producer about ideas for the show using paper cutouts of human figures. It isn't clear how Kobayashi's resignation will affect the game's curtain raiser. Blah, 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 blah. He apologized in a statement, saying that as a young comedian, he had been seeking cheap laughs, but quickly recognized he was at fault. It should never be the job of an entertainer to make people feel uncomfortable. Huh? I understand that my choice of words at the time was wrong, and I regret it. I would like to apologize for making people feel uncomfortable. I'm very sorry. The organizing committee confirmed it had relieved Kobayashi of his duties. We offer our deepest apologies for any offense and anguish this matter may have caused to the many people involved in the Olympic Games. Okay. So he does a thing back in the day. He says, let's play Massacre the Jews. I keep saying back in the day. I don't know what that means. Let's play Massacre the Jews. 13 years ago or whatever. No, sorry, 23 years ago. And that's dumb. Who cares? And then someone finds it. And they fire him. They're like, you're fired over this. And then that hits the news, and everyone goes, I wonder what he's fired over. So now we all have to watch the clip where he says, let's play Massacre the Jews in Chinese, or Japan's. What do they speak in Japan? Japanese? Right? Anyway, so I'm not even sure. Do we have any Japanese listeners that can confirm if that's actually what he said? Is Gabriella's dad available? Because we need... we need a translation immediately if that's really what he said. Anyway, I don't know. That's the news. Oh boy. So we've had a bunch of Olympic news, tons of stuff. Simone Biles this week, in the middle of the competition with her team, messed up like a vault, right? She kind of didn't do the vault gymnastics thing. So Simone Biles, of course, the best gymnast in the world or whatever, doesn't do the vault right. She goes to the sideline. She's like all sad. And then she leaves. And they said she's withdrawn for medical reasons. And then the next day it comes out that she's like, I'm actually going to work on my mental health. I just felt like it would be a little bit better to take a back seat, work on my mindfulness, and I knew that the girls would do an absolutely great job. I didn't want to risk the team a medal for kind of my screw-ups, because they've worked way too hard for that. So I just decided that these girls needed to go and do the rest of our competition. No injury, thankfully. That's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured. So I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists. They should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute having to adjust. It's been really stressful, the Olympic Games. I think I just, as a whole, not having an audience, there are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out there having fun, and sometimes that's not the case. She says about her teammates, personally, I knew they would be okay without me just watching them train. They're a couple of the strongest competitors I know. Their heads are always on straight, blah, 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 blah. I was like, I think the girls need to do the rest of the competition without me. The coaches were like, I promise you, you're fine. We watched you warm up. And I said, no, I know I'm going to be fine, but I can't risk a medal for the team, so I need to call it. So Simone Biles quits, right? And everyone has mixed reactions. It's like, yay, thanks for working on your mental health. And then other people are like, wow, what a big fat quitter. Like, the rest of your team is probably super stressed too. So how come they can't quit? You can just walk out because you messed up a vault and you're sad about it? I mean, I suppose there's a situation where that could be true. Like, Tom Brady throws an interception. Interception. Guy runs it back for a touchdown. Oh, man, we're going to lose the Super Bowl. Tom Brady quits right in the middle of the game. He's like, that upset me so much that I need to go focus on my mental health. I don't feel like it. Texas Deputy Attorney General apologizes after calling Simone Biles a national embarrassment. Let's see what this says. Texas's Deputy Attorney General apologized Wednesday after receiving backlash for tweeting that Simone Biles was a national embarrassment when she withdrew from the team gymnastics final. He tweeted a video of gymnast Carrie Strug, who competed with an injured ankle to help Team USA win gold in 1996, writing, "Contrast this with our selfish, childish national embarrassment, Simone Biles." Biles, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, here's the video from 1996. Carrie Strug.
Out of the individual all-around, and the Americans could lose the team gold to Russia. A 9-4-9-3. We've had one more Russian go.
So this girl, Carrie Strug, it is up to in 1996, score, knows she's injured. Her ankle's all messed up, but she lines up to do the vault for the gymnastics anyway. And back in the day, this was like the most heroic thing you could do. And now everyone goes, look, she was a slave.
Mogianu sit down, two in a row on.
Here she's running. She launches. Oh!
Oh! Three falls in a row for the Americans.
She lands, and then she hops on one foot, and then can't get off the mat. And they carry her out of the Olympics with, like, her broken ankle. But it's like, oh, but you won gold. Crazy.
She hurt herself on the first vault. Probably the last thing she should have done was vault again, but she did, and now she is in a lot of pain.
The amazing thing about it, though, John, she raised her hands overhead. Her head, she finished the vault.
Standing on one.
Crazy. Anyway. But everyone's now saying, or they've been saying this for a while, wow, when Kerry did that, she was under so much pressure. She was basically a gymnast slave for the United States. So now Simone Biles pulls out, and the whole conversation starts over, right? I don't really have that much of an opinion on it, but there's the news, right? Who even won gold? I don't know. The Russians? Who's the Russian famous gymnast? Who are the other gymnasts on Simone Biles' team? Shouldn't they be the ones we care about? I only know about one of them because it names it Biles. Isn't it Giles or whatever? Who are the others? The U.S. should be like, here are our four gymnasts. And we should have a mediocre response to Simone Biles. We shouldn't be happy and we shouldn't be sad. Can everyone just have a mediocre response? Just be like, oh, it happened. She dropped out. Okay, who cares? That means the next four should get all the praise. And Simone Biles shouldn't die. She shouldn't go to jail. she doesn't deserve our attention anymore because she's sad. And sad people don't deserve our attention, right? Anyway. I love the Olympics online. You don't want to be watching the Olympics using NBC Channel 15 on your TV, right? You want to be watching the Olympics at NBCOlympics.stream.com or whatever, because then you can watch anything. You can watch, I don't know, polo. You can watch judo. Who knows what judo is? I still don't know. I watched it for like 45 minutes, and it's two guys poking at each other, and then they go like this with their hands. They just flap their hands at each other. I think they're trying to throw each other. I tried to look up the rules, but nobody knows. Nobody knows the rules. But that's an Olympic sport. Judo, taekwondo is an Olympic sport. And even ping pong, right? Table tennis / ping pong is an Olympic sport, which apparently you can play for quite a long time. Because there's this Australian lady we watched, and she is in her sixth Olympics. And I want her to win because she was the first competitor I saw. So the first one you see, you always want to win. Unrelated to the Olympics, a new Guinness World Record for the longest table tennis serve was set by Eric Finkelstein in Pleasantville. This was earlier this month. See what the video has to say.
Pleasantville and a new Guinness World Record in table tennis is now set. News 12's Emily Young brings us that story.
Took a couple of tries and 2 months of training.
Wow.
Former competitive table tennis player Eric Finkelstein has set a new Guinness
I
World
love
Record.
This the small town reporting.
So what I'm doing is I'm going to serve the ball from behind that service line.
So he's in a gym and he's got the ping pong table. We like calling it ping pong, right? Because that demeans the sport. So he's got a ping pong table at one end of the gym, and he's now describing how he's going to set this Guinness World Record. Which, by the way, anyone with a Guinness World Record, that proves nothing except you've got way too much time. And Guinness World Records is just a company that was started by two guys who were drinking a Guinness and said, I bet you I can drink this Guinness faster than you. And the other one said, uh-uh. And they said, I wonder who can drink a Guinness the fastest of any person on earth. And they said, we should find out and write it down. And it just went from there. Look it up. That's true.
So what I'm doing is I'm going to serve the ball from behind that service line, and it has to be a legal serve. That means the first bounce is going to be on this side. The second bounce will be on this side.
This doesn't seem that hard.
It cannot cross that blue line of tape, and the ball cannot bounce on the floor before it hits the table. The previous winner set the record at 14.86 meters. Finkelstein broke.
Okay, so 45 feet.
Broke that record at 15.57 meters.
My initial attempts, I was falling well short, and I needed to figure out a different technique. So I'm actually using a very different technique than the current world record holder.
But despite this being a one-man competition, it actually took a team of people to make this official, as required
by
Guinness.
There's a Guinness record man measuring the ping pong paddle. Basically, all this guy did was stand on one end of a gym and hit the ball as hard as he could.
Finkelstein hired a certified umpire.
Someone's going to say, no, no, no. He has to put specific spin on it to get it through the air with enough speed. Well, how about this? How about we pump all of the air out of the gym so that there's no air resistance at all, and then you can just hit an infinitely long ping pong serve.
A videographer and a witness.
And then you need someone who has experience in architecture or construction to validate the distance.
Enter Wayne Howard and his brother Roy, local contractors from Yorktown.
Oh my God.
For the event's surveyors.
What the heck?
We're here to measure the distance of the serve.
What? What is happening? There's just a construction company here doing a Guinness World Record measurement. Are you kidding me? To be a Guinness World Record measurement man, you don't have to go to 4 to 8 years of Guinness school.
Anything like this. So we're excited about it.
There's quite a bit of paperwork involved. Every member of Finkelstein's team must fill out a statement and send it over to Guinness. But then he will finally be the record holder. And we might just see him again in the near future. As he says, he's looking to beat another table tennis record now that he has this one under his
belt.
Wait,
where's the... In Pleasantville. Do we get to see the shot? Young,
News 12.
Did I miss something? Let's go back
table to tennis is now brings us
prize and 2 months of training.
Did he do the shot?
Former competitive table tennis player Eric Finkelstein has set a new Guinness World Record, the longest table tennis serve.
Oh, I guess there it is, but so what I'm doing is for having done it, I would have thought in this video from the local news, I would have at least seen it twice or from multiple angles. Terrible news, 0 out of 10. Never watching that again. So anyway, head on over to NBC, watch the Olympics, and let me know what you think of it. Last night I was learning the rules of rugby again, right? Because who does that? Unless you're in rugby club. I think rugby might be the thing, though. Kind of over football. Although, I should let everyone know that I am officially an apprentice football official. And I'm wearing my shirt right now. Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com, and watch the video version. You can see that I'm wearing one of the striped shirts. So I haven't been telling anyone this because, like, I kind of want to get my training in and actually step on a football field before I tell anyone that I'm a football official, right? That would, you know, I'm not one of these people on Facebook that goes, I'm going to lose so much weight this summer. My abs are going to be 6 to 8 packs, right? And I'm finally going to get my diet in shape, right? And then everyone goes, congrats. No. We do the thing first and then we post it. So for about a month, I've been in training to be a high school football official. Where we go to meetings and we read the rule book of footballing. And we just argue about the rules. We discuss the rules and they train us what to do. I have the entire setup. I could walk on the field now and be a referee. Would I be able to be good at it or know all the rules? No, but I have all of the equipment. I got a flag. I got a whistle. It's about all you need, right? I don't know. I'm still in training, so I don't know. Training with other people is funny. As a kid, you're in first grade, right? And the teacher's going over something. They're like, 1 plus 1 is 2. 2 plus 2 is 4. And you're like, this is easy. You say it out loud because you're so bored. It's like, this is easy. And then someone says, I don't know what 3 plus 3 is. Like, oh my God, it's so easy. And the teacher goes, Nick, it's easy for you. Just because it's easy for you doesn't mean it's easy for everyone. And I thought when I grew up that maybe when I grew up and was around adults that it'd be easy for adults. But no. The more things I do, the more I realize either I'm one click above retard and I just keep getting put in the retard class. And that's why I feel like no one's understanding. And that's possibly true. Or really no one knows what's going on ever. I'm in this referee training class and the lead guy is speaking about a situation that would put a player out of bounds. Therefore, the football would be dead. And one of my co-students says, oh, so then we'd blow our whistle? And I'm like, yeah, that would be a reason to blow your whistle. Like, I figured, like, if we were going to go be football officials, we'd at least have a baseline understanding that you blow the whistle when the ball's dead. I also thought you'd have a baseline understanding of, like, the positions of the football officials. Like, you wouldn't walk into football training as a player and be like, what's the quarterback? Maybe you would. Maybe I'm the one that's wrong. But this guy's like, so, is the umpire like the head referee? Oh, man, that's the most wrong thing you can say. If anyone's familiar with officiating, that's like saying, is the running back the head quarterback of the team? Right? No. Is the umpire the head referee? Are you kidding me? The referee is the head official. But he should have been kicked out of referee school right then and there. Anyway, so that's going on. I'll update you guys if I ever am allowed to officiate a real game with kids or high school kids. I don't know if that's even going to be allowed. Everyone can agree that Camp Quinnebarge did not go as planned. This is news from New Hampshire, actually, but it hit some of the major news sites. The rustic overnight camp abruptly shut down earlier this month after just 6 days, and the picture on this article is of two kids standing next to a tree. Camp directors informed parents who had shelled out $3,400 for 2 weeks. Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's actually $3,400 for 2 weeks. It's like over $200 a day to send your kid somewhere. I guess that's not that much if you say, like, okay, well, it's kind of a hotel, but it's just a hotel in the woods. Camp directors informed parents who had shelled out $3,400 for 2 weeks that they needed to pick their children up the next morning following a summer of challenges capped off by delays from the camp's food supplier that made continuing untenable. This is basically the fire festival, they say at the top here. They made that joke, but I also thought of it too. Basically the fire festival of summer camp. You know, the fire festival where all those kids flew to that island. They're like, we're going to have a huge music festival. This is going to be great. And they get there and everything's wet and there's not enough beds and everyone's starving. The decision to close the 85-year-old camp in Moultonboro, New Hampshire in the middle of summer left campers barefoot. Left campers define barefoot.
Bereft.
Bereft. Deprived or lacking. Left campers bereft, counselors stewing, and some parents furious. Soon, stories began to circulate of problems that went much deeper than late deliveries. Counselors hired just days before camp and lacking basic training. A counselor punched in the face by a child, and a camper later hit in the head by the same child. Man, they've got, not only do they have a summer camp with no staff, they have an enemy. They have one of the campers is lurking in the woods, ready to punch you in the face. Dirty dishes were provided at multiple meals. Oh my goodness. At least 4 campers vomited and getting quarantined. While some parents said they weren't informed and staff quitting and being fired in high numbers. Huh? The sentence doesn't make much sense, but most of the things I say don't make sense. Okay, so they don't even have time to do the dishes. They're like, just reuse. Come on, their kids are coming. Just reuse the dishes from breakfast. They still have syrup on them. It's fine. Just put the steak on the syrup. It's not steak. We got it at the dollar store. I don't know. Whatever it is. Ooh. Indeed, a camper sent a letter to his parents in the first week that reads like the famous parody letter. It says, "We have been in tears, bored, and devastated the whole day. The camp director is lying to you all," the camper wrote. "You have to trust us. You have to. We are not joking. We're not having fun. So many things are wrong with this place." The boy's father, who found the note folded in his son's pocket days after the camp closed and provided it to the Globe, he requested anonymity. Some believe that camp leaders used a delay by Cisco, the food supplier, as an excuse to end the fiasco of a season. The company told the camp that its food would be delivered a day late during the first week. A day late? Shock does not even begin to cover it. Rebecca Gove, a Foxborough parent, said, who sent 2 children to Quinnebarge, wrote in a letter to the camp afterwards, She moderates the abandoned Camp Q 2021 private Facebook group where livid parents have gathered to compare notes. We need to join this group. Oh, people. If only I'd read this article before the show. The camp's executive director, Eric Carlson, said in a statement that camp was felled by industry-wide staffing and supply chain complications, not due to any long-term issues with camp complications. Abandoned Camp Q 2021. Here, there is an article called Camp Q 2021. Can we... This does say it's a private group. Let's see. Someone named Gunver is an admin. Let's see. Can I go to discussion? Nope. I'd like to join the group, but there's only 19 members. Here's another group called Camp Quinnebarge 2021 with 344 members. There's no such group as Abandoned Camp Q 2021. I'm going to try to join it. I'm going to try to join the main one. Uh-oh, I have to write, what is the name of your camper? Ooh. Nah, this isn't going to work. Oh, well. The camp's executive director, Eric Carlson, blah, 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 blah. We sincerely apologize to all those families and staff members who have had their summer plans interrupted by a premature closure. So it doesn't. This article is very long. Man, hopefully there's going to be a documentary about this. But I'm not going to read the whole article. But anyway, point is, many kids dead at this summer camp, most likely. It's been covered up. But, I mean, I don't have any proof of this, but it's probably what's happened. Saw this article. Cargo ship infested with tree-killing beetles ordered to leave New Orleans. Federal agents inspected a cargo ship near New Orleans and ordered it out of the country after finding it infested with a type of Asian beetle that has been destroying trees in the U.S. for about 25 years. Great. No wonder the lumber's more expensive. They discovered the invasive beetle in wood on board the Pan Jasmine on July 17th, just after the 590-foot-long vessel, blah, 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 blah. Wood used to pack the aluminum had not been offloaded in Mexico and was left scattered on the deck in the Pan Jasmine. That appeared unusual to customs agents. The wood was found to have burrowing holes and fresh sawdust. Wow, so I didn't even know that you get inspected for beetles when you have a boat. Just thought that was interesting. All right, on to the news. Wait, we are in the news. So on to the, I don't know. I'd like to say it's news about airplanes, but it's not. It's the Delta variant. Guys, it's happening just how we said it would. For a split second, we thought, oh, the masks. They said no masks. If you're vaccinated, I guess we're not going to wear masks for the rest of our lives. It's interesting. And then we said it here. We said it when they started, that as soon as something looked good, they were going to be like, actually, there's a variant. And I'm starting to hear over the speakers, you know, the speakers, because we're in, you know, a police state. And every time you go to fill up your gas, it goes, please continue to social distance to stop the spread of the coronavirus. But now they've replaced the audio clip where it says, please continue to social distance to stop the spread of the Delta variant. They just keep the same clip, but they just dub in the next variant. Insert variant name here. Mask with Nazi symbols has been sold at Fort Lauderdale gas station. This made national news. I mean, is local10.com national news? I'm not even sure. Probably not. It's probably just local news to Fort Lauderdale. Kelly Wagner had to sit in her car and take a deep breath after she saw the face mask full of swastikas being sold inside a Shell gas station. Face mask full of swastikas. After the initial shock. Oh my God. After the initial shock, horror, I asked the woman behind the counter, Is Shell actually selling swastika face masks? Okay, sorry. Is Shell actually selling... Why am I laughing? I'm not drunk or anything. After the initial shock horror, I asked the woman behind the counter, is Shell actually selling swastika face masks? She said outright said yes. Her response to me was, whatever, we sell what it is that they give us to sell. It's unclear how many of the masks were sold at that Shell located at 6201 Powerline Road on the corner of Powerline and Cypress Creek Road. We got to call this place. Local 10 News reached out to Shell, and the good news is we bought the last one of those masks, which also includes a Nazi eagle insignia. I'm deeply offended by it, said Rabbi Arnie Samlin of the Jewish Federation of Broward. I find this deeply offensive. What we have in the United States is a lack of understanding and knowledge of what Nazism stood for and the symbols used by the Nazis. After purchasing the mask off the shelf, Local 10 News confronted the Shell station's manager, Mohammed Hassan, about it. His name's Mohammed. He can do anything. I have no idea, he said when asked if he knew what the symbols meant. You don't know what a swastika is, question mark, we asked. Trust me, I have no idea. The customer, Wagner, called it an image of shame. It's shameful, hurtful. There are no place in this country in this day and age. I'm sorry. Yet Rabbi Samlin calls the situation shocking, yet not surprising. It's a symbol of hate. It's a symbol of racial superiority. When I see this symbol, I think of genocide. Oh, dear. I'm sorry, guys. If I ever have a job with the Olympic Committee in 23 years, it's over. I'm not going to have one. Sorry. Shell Oil Company sent the following statement to Local 10 News. Shell Oil Products U.S. does not condone hate symbols and is in contact with the licensee of the site to have this item removed. We support inclusivity of all patrons who choose Shell, except for Nazis, and take allegations of discrimination seriously. If you're inclusive, you should probably include people who want Nazis on their masks. The Shell Retail Fuels Business... But oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. All right, so that's fun, pretty funny, right? Everyone, I don't know. This keeps happening, and I keep covering it. I don't know why, because it's just funny to me whenever a news story comes out about a symbol. I was walking down the sidewalk, and a kid had drawn a swastika with literally like a pencil, and you could barely see it unless you zoomed in all the way with your eyes. I call it getting closer to something zooming in. I was so offended. I had to run back to the store and do something. I had to call the news right away. Crazy. I wonder how did the news even call figure out about this? Did the lady say that she... Oh, she said she called the news. Do people just go around calling the news about things? I mean, imagine every person, right? Imagine everything a person could do. I always assume that there must be a person that does it. So is there a person that just goes around throughout their day, and if they see something weird, they call the news? Hello, news? I was in the grocery store, and someone left the milk in the bread aisle out of the refrigerator. It's probably within minutes of going bad. Can someone please get down there and report on this? The milk is out. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey says it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated for the COVID spike. This is going to be fun, folks. Here we go. We knew that this was going to happen. Alabama's COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are on the rise. The governor is venting her frustration with the choice many in her state are making to not get vaccinated. She said, the reporter asked, sorry, what is it going to take for people to get shots in arms? Ivy retorted, I don't know. You tell me. Folks are supposed to have common sense, but it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks. Not the regular folks. It's the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down. This is what's going to happen, guys. The cases are on the rise. It's already coming out. Mask up in California or something like that. Unvaccinated or vaccinated, put your mask on. What happened to the vaccines working? So either they work and you don't need a mask, or they don't work and you need a mask. And people keep saying, no, it's the rare cases of people who get COVID through the vaccine. Yeah, no crap. Okay? But even the numbers say that that's not the case. Like, yeah, that is the case, that it's very low numbers of people that are vaccinated getting COVID. Like, but there's still the chance. Well, there's always going to be the chance. There's never going to not be the chance of getting COVID. So what are we doing? And then when the mask mandates come back, everyone's saying, blame the unvaccinated. They're the ones that did it. They caused the Delta variant. If everyone got vaccinated, we wouldn't have the Delta variant. We wouldn't have the Echo variant, the Foxtrot variant, whatever comes next, right? This is just going to keep happening. It's saying blame the dirty people. Even the Buccaneers are doing it. The Buccaneers have come out and said, so actually for practice, we are separating players by armband. So if you're vaccinated, you wear a red armband. And if you're I don't know why I'm talking like that, lineman. And if you're unvaccinated, you wear the yellow wristband. What? Are you kidding me? You have to identify yourself as unvaccinated when you're at work, according to the Buccaneers. Now, reporters went to the practice and they were looking around and they were like, we got a couple yellows, we got a lot of reds, and we have a few players who have no wristband. So apparently they don't have to. Tom Brady, the most famous player in the world, obviously, not wearing a wristband. You know why? Because Tom Brady is an anti-vaxxer, anti-masker. Not proven, but there's a lot of evidence to support that Tom Brady's an anti-masker, and he's keeping it low. He's not going on Twitter like, what's his name? DeAndre Hopkins going, you know what? If I have to vaccinate to play in the NFL, I guess I'm retiring. Tom Brady keeps it low-key because he's a smart man, but he's also anti-mask, anti-vax. But the Bucks aren't making him wear his wristband because he's also the best quarterback ever that's ever played in. He just won the Super Bowl. So what are they going to do? Right? He's got the cards. Not them. Anyway. So let's say everyone in America got vaccinated. That you're still in a problem because what about Haiti? Right? What about other countries that aren't Haiti and aren't the U.S.? There's like four more other countries other than those. Those people aren't going to be 100% vaccinated. The variants could come from there too, right? So just forget blaming the unvaccinated in the U.S. The variants can come from overseas for the rest of our lives. And what are we going to do? Be wearing a mask for the rest of our lives? Exactly.
What's it going to take to get people to get shots in office?
I don't know. You tell me.
She's a lot older than I
pictured.
Folks
supposed to have common sense. But it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. It's the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down.
But as a leader,
isn't that funny? I didn't even realize she said this the first time. The unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. Okay.
Hey, don't you think it's your responsibility
regular
to try and help get this situation under control?
I've done all I know how to do. I can encourage you to do something, but I can't make you take care of yourself.
Okay. COVID patient in Louisiana says he'd opt for hospitalization again over the vaccine. A growing number of Republicans are encouraging Americans to get vaccinated despite misinformation spread by white right-wing commentators. This is what the news on CBSNews.com says. I honest to God thought I'd walked my last day on this earth. I could not breathe. I just all of a sudden my lungs didn't work, Paula Johnson told Begnund. I was rushed to the hospital by ambulance. I have no comorbidities, nothing, never had a lung problem. So I'd say get the vaccine. So wait, what is this article about? COVID patient in Louisiana says he'd opt for hospitalization again over vaccine. This is very strange because the headline does not match the article at all. I'm trying to find where it references this man. Before you got sick, okay, someone asked Roe, if you would have had a chance to get the vaccine and prevent this, would you have taken the vaccine? No, Roe says, I would have gone through this. Yes, sir. Don't shove it down my throat. That's what local, state, and federal administration is trying to do. Shove it down your throat. What are they shoving? Big Nerd asks. I don't know who this Big Nerd person is. Maybe the reporter. I'm not really good at reading the news, so I don't even know. I like how this show is called News with Nick, and I try to pitch myself as giving you facts, and then I'm in the middle of the article. I'm like, who is this person again? It's like you're experiencing, though, reading the news with me, which it's in the end, isn't that more fun? What are they shoving? Begnard asked. The science? Question mark. No, they're shoving the fact that that's their agenda. Their agenda is to get you vaccinated. Roe, who is a Republican, had not heard that Congressman Scalise had stepped into the forefront Tuesday as a vaccine proponent. Bignard asked him to read the congressman's statement. He thinks it's safe and effective, Roe said. What's your reaction, Bignard said, to this guy who is in the hospital saying he would never get the vaccine? Not proven, Roe said. Does his opinion change yours? No, it does not. Okay, again, let's go back to the situation we described earlier. Of every person, of everything you can imagine a person doing, someone's doing it. So yeah, there are going to be people in the hospital with COVID saying, I would do this again to not get a vaccine. And then those people are going to be put on headlines. There are going to be people who made fun of COVID and the vaccines on Twitter going, it's fake, 100% fake. Oops, I got COVID and I'm dead. Boop, boop. Right? There are going to be people that have that. And whenever that happens, that's hilarious to the news. They love it. They say, look at this person who made fun of COVID and now he's dead. There's probably been three of them. Why do I talk with this tone of voice? I don't know. Am I annoying you? Sometimes I go, why am I speaking like that? Anyway. Is it condescending? Maybe this is why people don't like me, because that's the tone of voice I talk to them in. Anyway. So yeah, there's going to be situations where enough variables align where a person who made fun of COVID on Twitter dies. And then the news says, wow, he's dead. Isn't that hilarious? And everyone retweets it on their Facebook and goes, karma, 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 gotcha. That means it's not happening, right? Remember, if it's in the news, it's not happening. So it's barely happening. There's one or two people that have died from COVID after making fun of COVID. Big whoop. And then the news pushes these articles saying, look, it's happening constantly. People are dying all the time. Oh, my goodness. Kathy Armstrong had not taken any chances during the pandemic. After losing her mother to the coronavirus in April 2020, Armstrong, 50, avoided going to stores and restaurants, terrified she could get or transmit COVID-19. She did not see anyone outside of her household, including her 25-year-old daughter, for more than a year. When Armstrong got vaccinated in the spring, she felt elated to have protection from the virus, and slowly her fears about it started to ease. In the past month, Armstrong, an author and literary agent in Rochester, Minnesota, worked up the courage to eat inside a restaurant for the first time and go back to her gym. Everyone, I don't know anyone who died of COVID. I don't know anyone who got even hospitalized from COVID. But I do know someone, maybe more than one person, whose family member died in the last year. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's too bad. Are you close? And the person's like, yeah, we were close. And we used to hang out all the time until COVID when we were quarantining, so we didn't get to see each other. And obviously, I don't go, oh, wow, that's too bad about your sister's funeral, but did you see that shooter's manifest? No, but did you? But you wasted a year for fear for nothing. But in my brain, I am. I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's super sad. The fear of COVID caused this person to lose the last year they would have had with someone close to them. Deep. Anyway, back to the jokes. In recent days, the highly contagious Delta variant has shaken Armstrong's newfound confidence. I started to feel comfortable going out, and I'm not going to lie, my anxiety spiked up again. She said going to a restaurant again anytime soon is not going to happen. With COVID-19 cases rising again, breakthrough infections being reported in a small number of vaccinated individuals. Small number of vaccinated and some indoor mask mandates being reinstated, many people are finding the brief reprieve they had from pandemic-induced anxiety has come to an end. It's creating a feeling of whiplash from the relief they felt when the vaccines became widely available several months ago. Beneath this anxiety, its unwelcome return, its uncertainty, blah, 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 Delta variant. Pfizer suggests that a third dose of the Delta of the COVID-19 vaccine could strongly boost protection against the Delta variant. I saw this funny story. So if you, this is a headline run on CNN.com. Pfizer data suggests a third dose of COVID-19 vaccine strongly boosts protection against the Delta variant. You scroll down a little bit. The data, which involved tests of 23 people, has not yet been peer-reviewed or published. And CNN links to Pfizer's data. So what's Pfizer's data? You click on it. It's literally a PowerPoint. Second quarter earnings. And you click through. And you go, oh, wow. Quarter two 2021 key highlights. Wow, we're up 86% in operational revenue. We're up 68% in operational adjusted diluted EPS growth. Whatever the heck that is. The value for shareholders going up. 3% increase. 330th consecutive quarterly dividend paid. Amazing. Pfizer, of course, leads their data with, oh, look how much money we're making. And then, you know, down the line, they say, hey, you know, we tested that third booster, and even though we're highly incentivized to figure out that it works, because who wouldn't want us to sell you a third booster, right? And it works. Can you believe it? All right. Man facing federal charges for threatening to kill Dr. Fauci. This is funny. A Maryland man is now facing federal charges after allegedly sending threatening emails to Dr. Anthony Fauci. A federal criminal complaint has been filed charging Thomas Patrick Connolly Jr., age 56, for federal charges of threats against a federal official. We will never tolerate violent threats against public officials, said the attorney Jonathan Lenzer. Our public health officials deserve our thanks and appreciation for their tireless work. We will not hesitate to bring charges against those individuals who seek to use fear to silence these public servants. Wow. Okay, you didn't need, you could have just said no threatening to kill allowed. According to the affidavit, Connolly used an email account from a provider of secure encrypted email to send a series of emails to Dr. Fauci and the chief medical advisor to the president of the United States, threatening to harm and kill him and members of his family. One of the emails threatened to kill Dr. Fauci and his family would be dragged into the streets, beaten to death, and set on fire. All right, let's click on over to the criminal complaint. Probable cause. In response to a growing number of threats directed against the current director of the National Institute of blah, 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 Dr. Anthony Fauci, order to provide a safe and secure environment, began protective operations around Dr. Fauci in March 2020. Part of these protective operations involved the vetting of threats received by various means, including mail, voicemail, and email. Some of these threats have been sent to Dr. Fauci and at the NIAID, blah, 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 blah. Threats to Dr. Fauci is section 2 of the affidavit. On December 28th, 2020, this is kind of old, but the documents have been released now, Dr. Fauci received at his NIH email account the following two emails with the subject line, wow, this is a very long subject. Guys, you got to keep your subject short when you're doing threats. I don't know if you do, actually. Maybe the long subject line is, right, here's the email. From Natcher Theodore Alhena. It's all one word, and it's kind of words, but it's hard to tell. It's a very long portmanteau, maybe. Natcher Theodore Alhena? Anyway, sent to Fauci. Subject: hope you get a bullet in your compromised satanic elf skull today. Satanic elf skull? Oh, because he looks like an elf. Hope you get a bullet in your compromised satanic elf skull today. Dear Anthony Fauci, comma, every time I see your sickening elf visage, I literally get sick. You are a lying sack of shit all the way back to your bullshit HIV scam. You are a sickening, compromised, satanic Freemason criminal. I hope you get a rope around your vile elf neck and a bullet in your disgusting elf face tonight. Hope someone takes a baseball bat to your dirty, lying elf skull and puts you out of your misery, you sickening, vile piece of criminal dog shit. Why were you afraid to debate Carrie Mullis, about PCR test, you dirty little fucking elf? Hope someone takes a baseball bat and smashes your eyeballs out, sickening, vile little fucking elf. Sent with Proton Mail secure email. The email was sent from this place at Proton Email. The email provider is Proton Mail, which is a provider of secure encrypted email services based in Switzerland, blah, blah, blah. On April 24th, 2021, wow, this is months later, approximately 10.05 p.m., Dr. Fauci received a third threatening email from the same account. Wait, did we miss one? Hang on. Oh, he got two of them in December. Oh, two emails with the same subject. Oh, no, he replied to himself. Okay, the second one is hope you get a bullet in your compromised satanic elf skull today. I missed this one. I would encourage, this is only 15 minutes. No, it's only a couple minutes after the first one. You know when you're at work and you type something out and then you're like, oh, I have to add something to that. I'm sorry. So you just reply all to your sent item. So you just add to the thread. So the threatener forgot something. It was 2 minutes later. He said, I would encourage your to put a gun. It's definitely not gun. I would encourage your to put a gun in your mouth and pull the trigger, you disgusting piece of elf garbage, because you will wish you were dead when I'm finished bludgeoning your disgusting elf Freemason skull into the pavement. Sent with Proton Mail secure email. On April 24th, 2021, at approximately 10.05 p.m., Dr. Fauci received a third threatening email from this address, natureheaterhelena@protonmail.com, whatever. So this guy took 4 months off, right? Here's the subject. Six mandatory shots to your disgusting elf skull. You will hunted, captured, tortured, and killed, you sickening, vile, disgusting liar and fraud, you vile, disgusting, satanic elf. Sent with Proton Mail secure email. Following this, from approximately 10.09 p.m. to 10.12 p.m. on April 24th, 2021, this email account sent Dr. Philip Fauci 6 more emails threatening him and his family, including the following. You and your disgusting wife and daughters are getting 6 mandatory shots to their disgusting pig snouts while you watch. You and your entire family will be dragged into the streets, beaten to death, and set on fire. Wow! Carrie Mullis called you a liar and a fraud. I will call you a mass murderer, and you will get the death penalty for being the piece of mass murdering lying con artist that you are, you disgusting fucking elf. All right. Don't threaten Anthony Fauci. So he sent 6 more emails, and I'm not even sure I'm going to read it. It says, drop the mandatory vaccine talk, maggot. You're getting 6 mandatory shots in your worthless satanic skull. You sickening piece of anti-white racist kike. Oh, dear. Your daughters will be hunted, captured, tortured, and shot in the back of the head if you say one more word about mandatory vaccines. This guy, he's basically watching CNN with his laptop open, going, oh, my goodness. Fauci, I hate you. So, back in my day, when this happened, we used the block button. We didn't call the FBI. Dr. Anthony Fauci could have just been like, blocked. Through the Swiss Confederation, Proton Mail provided the registration details regarding this account. The email account was registered February 4th, 2018. Pursuant to legal processes, agents discovered that this account was linked for verification purposes to the creator of a similar Instagram username. Oh, wow. Maybe we can find this guy's Instagram. Instagram. Additionally, the Instagram account was created on May 14th, 2021. I'm not able to find it. Oh, wait. Let me just do site Instagram. Siteinstagram.com. Looks like there aren't many hits for this. So he was probably removed. So now there's a bunch of information about how they linked this account to this guy. This account sent an email on January 20th, 2020, sent an email to the mail.com account with the subject jobs shortlist. The email contained 12 links to Indeed.com. The links were for open technical writer positions with various companies. A review of the mail.com account revealed Connolly's resume. On his resume, describes himself as an information architect, editor, and senior technical writer. You know, this guy has a normal resume, goes to work during the day, browses Indeed.com for more jobs, and then comes home to watch CNN and call Dr. Anthony Fauci a dirty elf. Based on the foregoing facts, I respectfully submit that there's probable cause to believe that Connolly used the email account Nature Head the Proton Mail to commit violations of blah, 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 blah. So that guy's going in. We'll have to keep an eye on this one. Much like we've kept an eye on, let's see, is there any more information on the Virginia Governor Whitmer plot? New video obtained tonight by the ABC7 I-team shows accused Michigan militiamen in a live fire training, according to federal prosecutors. Whitmer plot. I'll do a news story. Now, it's interesting, the narrative, let's say, around this Governor Whitmer plot is changing. And it's been changing a lot over the past couple weeks. So let's see. Front and center, the alleged plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer is Barry Croft, who is seen carrying one flag of the Boogaloo Boys, a far-right anti-government movement. Let's see if we can get any information from this video, because I got to take a break from talking and sip some seltz.
Right anti-government movement. Croft in this photo and on video obtained tonight by the I-team that prosecutors say show him and others in live assault weapons training preparing for a violent assault on the Michigan governor's
son. Wow, really, Chuck? Okay. See those words they're using? Wow, they're in live fire training preparing for a violent assault on the governor's home. They're guys that love beer and shooting guns in the yard. They're not in live fire training. Maybe they are, actually. I haven't watched the video. They could very well be in training.
A violent assault on the Michigan governor's summer home. The video was taken during a militia live fire exercise in southern Wisconsin, according to
the latest court filing. But this is their hobby. Their hobby is to, like, oh, take our guns and we're going to run around the yard and pretend that we're in the militia fighting the British.
Federal agents had enlisted 12 confidential informants to provide information about Barry Croft, frequently seen in a colonial-era three-cornered hat, and other members of the Wolverine Watchmen, a militia group that allegedly had a plan in place last year to kidnap and potentially kill the Michigan governor. These digital messages involving Croft, also provided today to the I-team, refer to a bridge near the governor's vacation home that authorities say the militiamen scouted, photographed, and planned to blow up during their commando attack. All of this information presented at Croft's detention hearing last January, public release held up by defense concerns that these images would poison a prospective jury pool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legitimate claim because it's true. It can make it more difficult to pick a fair jury. But the reality of it is it's rarely enough to require a transfer of venue from whatever location the trial would be pending into somewhere else.
So these videos were released. And what I was getting at a moment ago, when we first broke this story and we read the original affidavit and it was talking about how they're going to kidnap the governor, the internet exploded. They're like, look at these white terrorists. They're going to go kidnap a Democratic governor. And I was like, let's see what happens. Because maybe they didn't actually do anything. And if you start Googling this story now, even the mainstream is starting to pick up this side of it. According to MetroTimes.com, the plot to kidnap the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, the plot hatched in Ohio, was conceived and steered by the FBI. Last fall, six men with ties to right-wing militia groups were arrested for an alleged plot. Became international story, but the plan, as conveyed as an extensive report by BuzzFeed News, well, I'm not sure if we love BuzzFeed News, whatever, was largely a result of actions taken by FBI informants. Some of those informants, acting under the direction of the FBI, played a far larger role than had been previously reported. Working in secret, they did more than just passively observe and report on the actions of the suspects. Instead, they had a hand in nearly every aspect of the alleged plot, starting with its inception. The extent of their involvement raises questions as to whether there would have been a conspiracy without them. Longtime government informant from Wisconsin, for example, helped organize a series of meetings around the country where many of the alleged plotters first met one another. And the earliest notions of a plan took root. Okay, I haven't done all my research on this, because who has the time? But are they saying that the FBI individually found people who were a little right-wing and a little gunny? We call them gunny if they love guns. And then planned for them to meet up and then said, you guys want to kidnap the governor? Because it's sounding like that might be what happened. We're just going to see how this plays out. But the interesting part to me is that a couple months ago, if you said this, this would have been a conspiracy. It would have been like, you think the FBI did this? No, no, no. These are white supremacists who hate Governor Whitmer. They're easily terrorists. Yeah, the FBI was there to observe, but that's it. But even the mainstream is starting to read the police reports and going, actually, the FBI kind of said, said to do it. So there's a, that's interesting. Couple more stories to go. This came out last week. The FTC is going to ramp up law enforcement against illegal repair restrictions. I thought this was interesting. We're just going to read this from FTC.gov. This is the right to repair, right? Right to repair, right? Everyone loves the right to repair. I should be able to buy an iPhone and it should have screws in it that I can just unscrew. The Federal Trade Commission today unanimously voted to ramp up law enforcement's against repair restrictions that prevent small businesses, workers, consumers, and even government entities from fixing their own products. The policy statement adopted today is aimed at manufacturers' practices that make it extremely difficult for purchasers to repair their products or shop around for other service providers to do it for them. By enforcing against restrictions that violate antitrust or consumer protection laws, the commission is taking important steps to restore the right to repair. Is that a right? In May, the FTC released a report to Congress that concluded that manufacturers use a variety of methods, such as using adhesives that make parts difficult to replace, limiting the availability of parts and tools, or making diagnostic software unavailable that have made consumer products harder to fix and maintain. The policy statement notes that such restrictions on repairs of devices, equipment, and other products have increased the burden on consumers and businesses. In addition, manufacturers and sellers may be restricting competition for repairs in a number of ways that might violate the law. Yeah. So back in the day, you got a phone from Samsung, and if the battery started going bad, you ordered a new battery, and you took the back off, and you just replaced the battery. And nowadays, you can't do that. I don't think. It's all one device. There is apparently a way to replace the battery in these things, but it takes a pro. And I don't think that right to repair goes that far, but it's the same idea in that people are saying, well, I buy a thing. I can't take it apart and service it. I bought it. Hello, it should be my right to take it apart and service it. Well, I don't know. Should it? Does the government have to get involved and say how companies should design their product? If you don't like it, don't buy it. They say, right? But then you get, well, oh, you have Apple and Samsung, and both of them are taking away the headphone jack. I may have no headphone jack soon. Then what? Right? So yeah, everything's getting worse and worse. I'm not saying it's not, but it's a little funny that we just go on the internet and we go, It's our right to repair. It's our right that Facebook doesn't keep our data. It's our right to do things. Which I don't understand about the data, especially because in IT, there's backups of everything. Every single second, the server's backing up. So let's say I'm on Facebook and I decide, actually, no, the right to be forgotten or whatever it is in Europe. I think that's what it is. Get rid of my data. Forget everything you know about me, which you know everything. They know everything. Imagine the things they show you they know. Okay, we know that you're a football official now, and we know when your next game is, and we know where you work because of where you go during the day, and we know what you bought last night because how long you were in aisle one of Home Depot. We can tell how long you were in aisle one versus aisle 20. So you must need light bulbs. So here's some ad for some light bulbs. They tell us that by showing us ads. Imagine all the stuff they know about us that they don't tell us. Funny. But you say, okay, forget me. You have no right to know me. Facebook says, okay, your account's deleted. But your data, it's technically impossible for your data to be gone, right? Now, I don't know every technology on Earth, but I'm pretty sure there's backups of backups of backups of this stuff. And there's no technical way for you to be deleted from Facebook's database. Even if they delete you from the production database, you're still in the backups. You're still there. Well, that was another thing that exists. We just have more and more times the government just jumps into the business and says, no, you got to design your product this way. I feel like at the end of the day, that's just going to increase the price of the product. It has to, because then now you got to hire lawyers that go, okay, government, is this screw big enough for old Jim to repair? I don't actually know what the law says. Final story. A man with no arms is accused of harassing women by asking to touch their feet. Oh. I wanted to see if there was a warrant here. A warrant has been issued in Arkansas for a man with no arms who is accused of harassing women. Three women have filed reports in Faulkner County about a man identified as Brian Reams. Oh, they know him. They know who he is. Oh, it's Brian. He's at the mall. He's got no arms. Harassing them while shopping in Conway. Police said the incidents occurred between September 2020 and June 2021 at a Walmart and a Kroger. He goes to both. Brian, get out of the Kroger. Jeez. They were all very frightened and very uncomfortable by these incidents that occurred.
With more, Alexis, what have you learned?
Well, Laura, police tell me that as of now, they know of three women who have been harassed by this man, and they say they want to catch him as soon as possible.
Wow.
The message that we're trying to send out is that right is sacred. The right to be safe.
A sense of safety is what Conway City Attorney Charles Finkenbeiner says is being taken away, and it's not okay.
If someone steals another person's sense of safety and security, that can't easily be restored. I can't easily get that back.
Three women have filed reports about Brian Reams harassing them while shopping. Police say the incidents happened between September 2020 up until June 2021 at the Walmart on Skyline and the Kroger on Salem Road.
They all were very frightened and very uncomfortable by these incidents that occurred.
According to the police reports, he would follow the woman around the store and make inappropriate comments to them.
These scenarios are all very similar.
What comments?
One police report.
Hello? Hello? The video stopped. Why'd the video stop? Oh, great. Now we have to edit this.
One of the woman's feet. And no matter how small, appropriate comments to them.
These scenarios are all very similar.
One police report says the man who has no arms asked to touch and massage one of the woman's feet. And no matter how small it may seem, since these women reported this, Finkenbeiner says he can help.
The fact that we were able to obtain justice and protect that right is because these women were strong enough to come forward.
He says some people typically don't speak out about cases like this. Sometimes they find out through social media.
They may report it on social media.
Is this even reportable?
They typically do so not for their own benefit, not to get any attention, but to warn other people. And that was really how we became aware of a lot of these incidents.
And both Finkenbeiner and Conway police hope this will encourage others to report things. Otherwise, local officials who can help may never know about it.
We want people to feel safe in public, and we want them to understand that their story matters. People do have the right to go out in public without being harassed.
I don't understand the story at all.
If you have any information about any of these incidents, or you may have been a victim to something similar, you're asked to call police, no matter how small it may seem. Reporting live tonight in Conway, Alexis Wainwright, KRK 4 News.
All right. Man with no arms accused of harassing women by asking to touch their feet? Here's another article. Here's another video about this. This is crazy.
22-year-old Brian Reams was bothering women while they were shopping at stores across town. Our Alexis Wainwright spoke with officials, and she joins us live from Conway with more. Alexis, what have you learned?
Wait, is this the same video? Oh, it's the same video. I'm an idiot. It's just on a different website. Okay, so this guy, he's now famous. He's now famous because he's got no arms, because it's funny when a man with no arms says, can I massage your feet? Because how would you? I guess with his feet, right? I don't know. Well, anyway, congrats Brian Reams on being famous. Does he really have no arms, or did he just tuck his arms into his shirt? And he's got his arms in his shirt, right? And he's walking around, he's like, can I massage your feet? And the girls will say, okay, because you have no arms, so how could you? It can't possibly be scary. You have no arms, so sure, weirdo. And then he pops his arms out of his shirt and says, you said, consent. It wasn't predicated by only if you have no arms. All right, head on over to newswithnick.com. This has been a great show. Thanks for listening. And sign up for the text updates, and we will see you. Send your news stories to news@newswithnick.com. And I don't know. See you in a month, I guess. Bye.